getting started this morning. Galatians 5. What's the title of the message today? Let's take a walk. Galatians 5, verse 16. I'll read down to the end of the chapter as I did this morning. And we will finish this message. I know you just sat down.
It's okay.
But I'd like you to stand for the reading of the word.
Amen.
Madeline was the first one up.
It's Christ.
Pretend this was doing a sword or something.
Yeah, well, last night's murder.
Yeah, I was hoping to have some marshmallows, a nice big marshmallow.
So you could keep a bag up there. No?
I think that's a good idea. Give me a bag of marshmallows. I'll keep them in the pulpit. Somebody goes to sleep.
Let them sit for a couple weeks. It's a different kind of marshmallow.
Yeah. One is a rock. No, last night was good because they're nice and fresh.
Yeah.
When they hit you, they just kind of they formed around your body and it was okay. All right, verse 16. I'll read, you follow along. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Father, bless the rest of this message tonight. Help us to see some things from the Word of God that we need to make sure that's in our lives. Lord, I pray that you bless and move upon us now tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We looked at the walking in the flesh this morning. Remember how many sins Paul mentioned here? How many? 17. Come on, folks. We're going to have to start all over. There's 17 sins that he mentions here. They're broken down into three categories. The sexual sin, there's four of them. The spiritual sin, there's three of them. And the social sins, there's 10 of them. And so the four sexual, the three spiritual, and then you got the eight anger sins, and then you got two drunkenness sins there. And so he covers those. Those are manifest because they're the works of the flesh. Remember that. But he says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so the whole key today, and the whole key in our life, not just a message for today, but is walking in the Spirit. If we're walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And there's a lot of them. Obviously, Paul just mentions 17 here in this passage of Scripture. We talked this morning what witchcraft is. Witchcraft comes from the Greek word pharmakeia. I'm not a big Greek person, don't get me wrong. But when you look at that and you see that that's the Greek word that's used in the translation, pharmakeia. We talked about that this morning, about medication, pharmacy. It really has, when you look up that word in a Strong's Concordance, it has the meaning of magic and sorcery. Now that's one of the spiritual sins that we see that Paul mentions here, but there's a lot to that as far as the medication. We seem that people are out, everybody's on some kind of medication, it seems like. And I don't want to get into that again tonight. I covered that as much as I could this morning. Tonight I want to talk about walking in the Spirit. This morning we talked about walking in the flesh. Tonight I want to get into the spiritual walk that we need to be in. Go over to John chapter 15. John 15. John 15, we see that Jesus talked about the fruit in John 15. Now we're going to come back to Galatians 5:22-23. We're going to come back to the fruit of the Spirit. Matter of fact, all nine that's mentioned. Remember, it's singular, not plural. So it's the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to talk. I am going to break them down. We're going to briefly talk about each of the nine that Paul mentions here. But before we do that, Jesus talks about fruit in John chapter 15. Let me read just a few of the first verses in this chapter. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I brought a message a while ago about pruning, on how important it is to prune. If you have anything to do with trees, fruit trees or anything, you know the importance of pruning those fruit trees to give them, to make them more healthy, to give them more fruit. There are three aspects of pruning. Why do you prune a tree? This is what I researched and came up with and actually preached a message on it. You do this for survival. After you plant them, you want to prune them and make sure that all of the dead branches or broken branches are removed from that tree. So it's really for survival. Secondly, it's for stimulation. It produces a stronger, vigorous growth in that particular tree. Now think about this in relationship to a Christian and the fruit that Jesus is talking about. Jesus wants us to survive. He wants to stimulate us to generate more fruit in our life. If you're not generating fruit, what does he do? He takes you away from that. And so the purpose behind this is that we need this pruning. We need the clippings that Jesus goes through in our life. And he does that for our good. You prune a tree for the good of the tree. You prune a tree for the good of the fruit. So it produces more fruit. And then thirdly, it's for shaping. You'll prune a tree. I don't know if you've ever driven up north between here and Lake Ontario with all the apple trees that are up there.
Oh, yeah.
They got all different kinds of shape. They got them skinny trees just growing straight up so you can plant more together. They've got the ones where they'll go to a certain height and they cut off the top and they bush out this way. It's amazing to look at all the different ways that they're pruning those trees to get them the exact way that that apple farmer wants them to grow. And so for survival, for stimulation, and for shaping, that's what God is doing in our life. He prunes us on a regular basis so we will survive this Christian life, so we'll be stimulated to produce more fruit, and for our shaping in our lives. He's shaping us into what he wants us to be. And so that's what the Lord is doing in our life. The reason is he wants us to, first of all, bear fruit there in verse 2. In verse 3 it says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. You know, if you cut off an apple branch, a branch from the vine or from the trunk, it's going to die. You ever notice that? You know that. You can't cut off all those branches and expect the apples, or any fruit for that matter, to flourish. I've never seen a whole bunch of branches just bouncing around in the world producing fruit all by themselves, not connected to a trunk. They have to be connected to the trunk or the vine. We have to be connected to Jesus Christ. He's what motivates us. He's what drives us to do what we do. Let me go on here. And he says in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. So we've got bearing fruit. We've got verse 2. In verse 2, we've got more fruit. Now we've got much fruit. There's a progression that takes place in the Christian life. Then he says in verse 5, for without me ye can do nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a key part of this whole passage of Scripture. Without me, you can do nothing. There's too many Christians trying to live the Christian life outside of Christ, outside of the Spirit, trying to walk and do their own thing. And you can't do it. I'm sorry. You cannot run your own life and expect your life to be productive for Jesus Christ. It's not going to work. You cannot just go through life doing whatever it is that you want to do and expecting to bear any fruit whatsoever. Because without Christ, you can do nothing. He said that. Without me, you can do nothing. If any man abide not in me, verse 6, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now remember, you can't lose your salvation. So this is not being cast into hell. This is not the context here. This is just something, if you're not living for Christ, you could be cut off from the vine, not in relationship to salvation, but in your worth to God and in your productivity to God. And then we see that those branches can be taken out and just burned, not lost and not in hell, but burned to the point where they're useless. They only become firewood. I've said this before, at least thought it. Don't allow yourself to be firewood for the devil. Please. You don't want to be a trophy in the devil's trophy room. You don't want to be just firewood for the devil. You want to make sure that you're doing something for God. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear what? How much?
Much
fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Much fruit. And so Jesus talks about this fruit here, telling us that without Him we can do nothing. You and I cannot live the Christian life without Christ. You can't bear fruit without Jesus Christ. You can try all you want, and all you're going to do is you're going to be like that little hamster in that little wheel, spinning and going absolutely nowhere. A lot of Christians are doing that today. Trying to get somewhere, and they're going nowhere. Because they're doing it on their own. They're trying to do it without God. They're trying to do it without the Holy Spirit. They're trying to do it without Jesus Christ. Even in Matthew 13, He gave the parable of the sower and the seed, right? Remember that? Then He says in that parable, some were 30-fold, produced 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. So we're not all going to produce the same amount of fruit. That's obvious. So we pastors have to be careful when we're looking out upon our congregants that we're not trying to compare one person to another and say, wow, they're bearing a lot of fruit, but this one's hardly bearing no fruit.
Right.
We pray for those people. We pray for everybody. We pray for those that are bearing a lot of fruit, and we pray for those that aren't bearing much fruit, but we can't compare one to the other. You should never compare yourself with somebody else either.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's wrong and that's sinful. You to compare yourself. Paul talks about that, I believe in Corinthians somewhere. Talks about comparing ourselves with one another.
Yeah.
It's easy to do that because we're human beings and our nature, our old nature, wants to do that. We want to compare ourselves with somebody else. We preachers fall into that category. Sometimes we like to compare ourselves with another pastor. We look at another pastor that's flourishing in the ministry, and the ministry is growing like crazy. They're building buildings, and they've got all kinds of ministries going on, and we kind of sit back and we almost envy them. And envy is a sin. We all have to be careful about this. But again, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. You know what the Lord wants? He just wants us to live for Him. The only requirement He gives to us Christians is that we are faithful.
Right.
Are you faithful? You answer the question, are you faithful? Am I faithful?
No.
That's what we need to do. He wants us to live for Him. He wants to live through us. The world should be able to see Jesus Christ in our lives. When they look at us, when they listen to our words, when they see our attitudes, they should be able to see Jesus Christ. What's your attitude like day by day? Tomorrow's Monday. Some of you are off from work. Some of you are not. But when you go to work, do you exemplify Jesus Christ at your job? Let the people know you're a Christian. And if they know that you're a Christian, do they realize what kind of a Christian you are?
Yeah.
Our attitude is broadcast to the entire world.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
If you walk around with a bad attitude, you're broadcasting that your Christianity is a bad attitude Christianity. And we need to be careful about it. Did you know that the old nature cannot produce any fruit of the Spirit whatsoever?
Amen.
Right.
Your old nature can produce zero fruit. Zero. You can only produce fruit because the Holy Spirit is working in you and through you.
Amen.
Let's go back to our text in Galatians 5, and we'll go through this fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. How many of you are do-it-yourselfers? We have quite a few do-it-yourselfers here. Like to do things yourself, right? I mean, you got to... I don't want to sound like a wuss, but I don't even change my own oil anymore.
Amen.
I gave that up a long time ago. I go to a garage, And I say, you change my oil. And yes, well, you're paying extra money, Pastor. Don't you know that you can save, you know, some money? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I could save some money, maybe. But I got to get underneath that thing. I used to do it. And there's a trick. I used to take that little plug off. And when I would do that, oil would run all over my arm. I know you're supposed to do it a certain way, but I'm not a mechanically inclined person. Sometimes I've ruined the filters trying to get them off that were on there too tight. So I go to a place and let them handle it. Because if they mess it up, they're gonna fix it. I told you this story before, right? The one time I tried to change a starter on an old blue van we had here, and I ruined the bolts on the starter. There's only, what, three bolts? How many bolts on the starter?
Two or three?
The
old Ford's three, yeah.
The old Ford. Oh, I couldn't even get the starter off. I'm under there killing myself, and the starter would not, the bolts wouldn't come out. I got my vice grips out. You know what vice grips do to the head of a bolt?
They're going to mess.
They were gone. There was nothing left of that. I crawled out from underneath that thing. I called AAA. I had it towed to the mechanic, and I said, you fix it. He said, thanks a lot.
Yeah, all right.
But he told me that day, and I'll never forget it. I told him, he said, listen, you pastor church, you preach? Yeah. He said, you do what you do best, and let me do what I do best. I took that advice, and I said, you know what? I take that advice from you, and I have always done that. I don't try to do all that stuff anymore myself. But some of us are do-it-yourselfers. I mean, there's little things, projects around the house that you could probably fix, you know, without falling in the entire plumbing groups. I don't like plumbing, you know that. Judd took care of the plumbing last time. I don't deal with plumbing well. Plumbing and me, we do not get along whatsoever. But you know, this Christian life is not a do-it-yourself Christian life. You might be a do-it-yourselfer, and you go, I can fix anything. Or maybe you can. But when it comes to Christian living, you can't do that yourself. It's not a do-it-yourself thing. You have to have the Holy Spirit helping. You've got to have Jesus Christ as your guide, as your director, as your leader. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to do what He does best, just like what that mechanic told me. Let God do what He does best, and let Him use you the best way that He can use you.
Amen.
Paul indicates that the fruit of the Spirit, let's look at that. I mentioned it this morning, but I'll just mention it one more time here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It is those nine things. It's not the fruit of the Spirit or the fruits of the Spirit are. Did you notice that? Fruit of the Spirit is. That's singular. Every one of them. Now, he starts off with love, which I really believe is a foundational aspect of the whole thing. Because without love, you're not going to have love, you're not going to have joy, you're not going to have peace, you're not going to have long... The rest of them will not fall into place unless you get the first one right. And I say this because of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Go over there real quick. 1 Corinthians 13, that's the charity chapter of the Bible. We know that charity means love. Actually, charity is what? Love in action. That's what charity is. And so the first one that Paul mentions in Galatians 5 in verse 22 is love. And we'll look at 1 Corinthians 13 here quick. And Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, he says, I am nothing. You can be Mr. or Mrs. Know-it-all. You've got all of the scriptures down. You've got most of the Bible memorized. You've got all your doctrines. You got all your T's crossed and your I's dotted. You got it all figured out. And yet, if you're walking around without love, you are absolutely nothing.
That's
what Paul's saying. You can be a great preacher. You can be an orator. You can stand in front of the crowds and just people would just sit there in awe at your ability to preach.
and to give out the big 50-cent words. I don't even know 25-cent words. I like what Caleb Garrow said. Keep it down on that low level. That's important. Keep it on the lower level. So people get, you know, the kids can even grab what they need to grab from the message, right? Keep it simple, stupid, right? That's, you're not stupid, but that little kiss thing, keep it simple, silly. I know I don't like to use the word stupid, either do you, and you don't like it when I use the word stupid. But anyway, Paul says this. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, and he can remove mountains, he says, without charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing, he says. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. You know, true love is very humble. You know what he's saying here? True love is very... You're a humble person when you have true, biblical, godly... We're talking godly love. This love that Paul mentions here... In this chapter and over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. This is not a sensual love.
Right.
Most people today have no clue what real love means.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Young people growing up, teenagers, young people fall in love and they get married. You don't really know what love is.
Amen.
Till you've been married 50 years or more, you really have no clue. Your love for two people, your love grows over time. It's not the same when you get married. That you've only been married a year, you two. Right there. I'm looking at you two. You've got a lot of growing yet to do in your marriage and even in your love. Now, I know you're in so in love. I see you hugging and slobbering all over one another. I see that. I don't see as much over here. They've been married 12 years. And you hardly ever see Kathy. We've been married, I know, almost 50 years. But your love grows over the time, over years. That's what love does. It grows. It doesn't just, you know, you can't reach a maximum love in your life. I've reached it. That's it. I don't have any more love. No, your love continues on. But it's not a sensual love. This love that Paul is talking about in Galatians 5:22 is not a physical love. Amen. It's not a physical. It's not the sensual love. It's not a physical love. It's a godly, Holy Spirit love.
Amen.
There's a big difference.
Yeah.
Big difference. It's a love for God and a love for others. That's what it is. Because this love is eternal love. Eternal. It's not the love that we see today. We see so many people today, they get married and they're so madly in love, and in a few years they're coming for counseling or they're going to the divorce lawyer or whatever it is that's going on. And it's like, what happened? I thought you were madly in love. Well, we were, but you know, we went astray. We went different ways. Well, what happened to that love that you had? It's gone. It's because that love was only a physical or a sensual love, and it was not an eternal love. It wasn't that love that God produces. You were trying to love based on physical, or you were trying to love based on your feelings, your emotions. Your emotions and feelings change by the minute.
Amen.
They do. Believe me, they do. And so this love, I'm going to go back over to Galatians. I'll tell you, we really need to get this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's that foundation that Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 13. It's that love. It's that godly love. It's that eternal love. It's not just something that comes and goes. And then he says joy. I want to get through these nine things, so I'm going to kind of move along a little quickly. Joy. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. This is not the world's happy hour. The world has a happy hour, right? They got their happy hour. They got their time in which they go out and they have their fun and they do whatever it is that they do. And they've got their happy time and they go out into the world and they do what the world does. And they might be happy for a little while, but they have no joy in their life. a Christian can really, listen to me. This is important. I want you to get this. A Christian can really enjoy life.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
We can.
Yes.
We're allowed to enjoy life.
Amen.
I didn't think we could. Yes, you can enjoy life.
Amen.
God gave us life to enjoy.
Amen.
He gave us the ability to have joy in our life. Have you ever just laughed?
Amen.
Some of you, I think, have never laughed before in your life. We God made us so we can laugh. The only animal that I know of that smiles is the sloth.
Yeah.
Did you know that? That's the only animal that smiles is a sloth.
Oh my God.
He has a permanent smile on his face. Even if he's sad, he has a smile on his face. I don't know, God put that smile in the sloth. He doesn't move very fast, but he's happy. I don't know if he's happy or not. But a Christian can really enjoy life. There can be joy no matter what life throws your way.
Amen.
I'll tell you, we sometimes, if some little thing comes our way and it's like, it destroys our joy. Our joy is gone. Our happiness is gone. Our gladness is no longer. Life is going to throw things your way that you never expected, that you don't want. Amen. It's going to happen to all of you, even you young people tonight. If you've never had your life rocked, it's going to be rocked someday. It will. Guaranteed. That's the good news tonight. But with God, you can still have joy in your heart. You can be like that sloth. You can still smile even when times are going to be difficult in your life. Look at 1 John 1:4. 1 John 1:4. 1 John 1:4. John, the apostle, wrote, of course, the gospel, and he wrote his three epistles, and he wrote the book of Revelation. But one of the reasons that he wrote 1 John is mentioned here in verse 4. In 1 John 1:4, he says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." That your joy may be full. That's why he wrote 1 John. Boy, if you're going through a sad time, just read 1 John. It ought to cheer you up. Read some other Bible passages. It'll cheer you up. Get your mind off from yourself.
Amen.
And get your mind on the Holy Spirit and on God. And ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with His power, and you might start having a little bit of joy in your life.
Amen.
Doesn't mean you got to walk around giggling all over the place. Some people, that's all they do. Just giggle. That's not the type of joy we're talking about. But I do believe this, that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have joy. It's going to radiate up from your heart, and it's going to land right here on the face. And you might even smile a little bit. Even a half a smile. Little. Once in a while, you might be able to muster up a little smile.
Hi.
Look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Page 1020 in my Bible. Not in yours. Unless you got the same Bible I got. Let's see. 1015. I'm getting there. 1018. There it is. Habakkuk. 1001. I wrote the page number so I could get there quick before you. I cheated. Sorry. Habakkuk 3:18. Some people call it Habakkuk.
Yep.
I say Habakkuk. You say Habakkuk. It's still the same book. Habakkuk. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not there yet, say, oh, me. I can't find it. Just before Zephaniah, right after Hezekiah.
Right.
Thomas got that. The rest of you staring at the ceiling. Habakkuk 3:18 says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Are you saved tonight? Whoa, I got just a handful of saved people in the room.
Amen.
Are you saved tonight?
Amen.
All right. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You may have nothing else to rejoice about tonight, but if you're saved, you got one big thing that you can rejoice about. You're going to heaven someday. and your sins are forgiven. You've got a home being prepared for you in heaven.
Amen.
And when you die someday, you're going to inherit that home. That ought to make you a little bit of happiness there, right?
Amen.
Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So we got love, joy. How about peace? Here's the other one. Peace. Get back to the text. Galatians 5, again, verse 22. Peace. This is the peace that only the Lord can provide. The world is trying to give people peace and they can't do it.
Oh boy.
Drugs. Drugs today. Some people think that they can get peace through drugs. Some people think they can get peace through alcohol. Some people think they can get peace through whatever's out there. And you're not going to get peace other than through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit. That is the only place you're going to get true peace. Everlasting peace. Eternal peace. Godly peace. That's what we're talking about here when it comes to, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. This is the only thing that God provides. It's a peace that a world of turmoil and trouble and trials, the world doesn't understand the peace that the Christian has.
Right.
Many of the testimony of Christians have been, they've lost a loved one, and yet they still can have a smile on their face.
Yeah.
They've lost a job, and they can still have a smile on their face. Some tragedy has hit their life, and they can still smile and still rejoice in the Lord. That's because they have a peace that only they can attest to. They have a peace that the world knows nothing about. They have a peace that the world would really love to have.
Amen.
And we can share that peace with them by giving them the gospel, giving them a gospel tract, by inviting them to church, by witnessing to them and preaching to them. There's a peace that God wants to share with the entire world. And He is that. He's peace.
Amen.
He's the one. Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So where does peace come from? You can't muster. It's not a do-it-yourself thing. I think I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and I'm going to have me some peace. No, you might get up tomorrow morning and have a piece of toast. That's spelled completely different. You might have a piece of pie later. I had a piece of pie this afternoon. Thank you for the pie, by the way. Very, very good. Appreciate that. I might have a piece of candy later. But that's not the peace we're talking about. We're talking about the peace that only Christ can give you. We're going to have a piece of cake in a little while, yes? Amen. This is the peace that only Jesus Christ and only the Holy Spirit can give us.
Amen.
You can have peace in a world of turmoil. This world is in a turmoil.
Yeah. Amen.
This country is in a turmoil.
Yeah,
there is so much going on today. It makes us Christians sometimes scratch our bald heads. We wonder how the world is going to even get through anything. But, you know, even with all of the turmoil in the world, with Russia and China and Ukraine and the United States and the administration that we constantly, I just go like this when I read a headline. I just go, oh, I don't understand it. I don't grasp it. I can't understand how they do the things they do, the laws that they pass, and the things that they want to do in this country. But I can still walk through this life with peace in my life. Trouble, trials. Let's look at Philippians 4:7. 4:7. Well, I'm going to read 4:6 and 7. Philippians 4:6 and 7. You know these verses. I'm not giving you anything new here tonight. Just trying to encourage you a little bit. Give you something instead of just the cake. Make you feel good. 6 and 7, Philippians 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's a good thing right there. Pray about everything. And be careful for nothing. Stop worrying. Most of you worry, you can do nothing about it anyway. I think it's what, 85% of our worries, there's nothing we can do about it.
That's right.
We just worry because we like to worry. Some people, that's all they do. I'm just worried about everything. Well, why? you about it. The world's going to come to an end. Yeah, we know that. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. It's coming to an end soon. Probably sooner than we think. But you don't have to worry about anything. But Putin is talking about a nuclear... Yes, he is. And he may push the nuclear button. And it may be catastrophic. There may be a hurricane coming up our way. I don't think so, but you know. We got another one down there in it. You better be careful in Florida, Debbie. She's leaving for Florida. Pray for her as she goes to Florida tomorrow. But there's all kinds of tragedies that's out there. We don't have to worry about it. Be careful for nothing. Nothing. You know what nothing means?
Nothing,
nothing means nothing. I think. But in everything, my prayer and supplication, pray about it. I'm worried about, pray about it. But also with Thanksgiving, make sure that it's not just third Thursday in November is when you're thankful. You're supposed to be thankful every day. But look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Here we go. And, this is a continuation of verse 6. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding. You and I don't even understand all of the peace of God. I can't understand it. I don't understand it when turmoil is going through our lives and this world and this country, and yet we can still have a peace which passeth all understanding. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the peace we're talking about tonight. Peace with God. Peace of God. That's a blessing. Boy, I tell you, God is good to us.
Amen.
Amen. He is so good. To allow us to have His love, to allow us to have His joy, to allow us to have His peace, and then long-suffering.
Yeah,
boy. Long-suffering. What's the word long-suffering mean? It means to suffer a long time. That's what long-suffering means. I know that we equate it with patience, and that's true, but that's not the only meaning of long-suffering.
Amen.
Long suffering means that you're going to hang in there even through all of the affliction and trials, and when you're injured even by others, physically, emotionally,
Amen.
Verbally, you can still go through life.
Endure.
And you don't have to worry about things. You can suffer long with the Holy Spirit on your side.
Amen.
Amen.
And we all need that. 1 Corinthians, go back to 1 Corinthians 13. We were just there a minute ago. Let's go back there real quick. Verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Remember, we started with love. And even when it comes to long suffering, when it comes to the rest of these, look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. What's it say? Charity, what? Suffereth long. That's long suffering. Charity. And is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. So charity suffers long. Charity, the love that God gives us, allows us to go through this long suffering that we're going through. Or suffering for a long time, whether it's a physical infirmity, whether it's cancer, whether it's whatever it may be. COVID has struck a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer has stricken a lot of people. Other things that people go through, family issues and financial issues. We can go through this even in affliction and trials and because we have the long suffering of the Holy Spirit. Gentleness is the next one we see here on our list of the fruit of the Spirit. After long suffering is gentleness. Webster says this about gentleness. We all know, we understand what it is, right? But here's what he says. He says, it's gentle behavior. It's softness of manners. It's mildness of temper. You got an inflamed temper at times? You got to work on that with the Holy Spirit. Sweetness of disposition. Kindness. Tenderness. Polite. This all falls under the whole word of gentleness. It sweetens the temper. It corrects an irritable disposition. Are you irritable all the time?
No. Some of you look like you are. Irritable. I'm just irritable.
Well, then you need gentleness. You need the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to gentle you. Give you some gentleness. Makes the heart kind. I think this is all Webster said about. Disposes us to make all around us as happy as possible. That's what gentleness is. Some of us need that. Because we have a problem with that. Do you know we probably have a problem with most of these?
Yeah.
But you know why? We're not filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That's right.
We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through us and to live through us. We're not allowing Jesus Christ to live through us. We don't want the mind of Christ, or we don't have the mind of Christ, but we need the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Gentleness. Gentle behavior. And then goodness. Let me move along here. 701. Nope. Yep, 701. Goodness. A disposition to do good to others. That's what goodness is. A Christian, do you know a Christian is to be good?
Amen.
Don't ever be, you know, there's nobody good on this planet. Okay, you know, you can get to the theological, get into all of that. But look at Romans 15:14, please. Do you really think that God doesn't want us to be good?
No.
Of course not. God wants us to be good. Look at Romans 15:14. Look what Paul writes. I know there's only three men that we know of in the entire Bible, that I know of anyway, in my studies, that were called good. Barnabas was one of them. Joseph of Arimathea was one, and Jesus was one. They're actually called good. But look at what he says in Romans 15:14. Are you there?
Amen.
And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of what?
Goodness.
Goodness. He is admonishing the church there of Rome in this. Filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. God wants us to be good.
Amen.
To one another. That's part of the Holy Spirit working through you. You're going to be a person, a man or a woman, of goodness. You're going to want to help one another. You're going to want to be good to other people in the church. You're going to want to be good to your family. You're going to want to be good to your neighbor. You're just going to want to be you're just going to want to go through life good. Being as good as God will allow you to be. So don't think that you don't have any goodness in your life. You don't have any goodness maybe because you're trying to do this on your own. Remember, this is not a do-it-yourself project. You need the Holy Spirit. Faith. Here's the next one. Faith. A Spirit-filled and a Spirit-controlled Christian will be faithful. Faithful. Faithful to the Word of God. Are you reading the Bible daily? Should be. You ought to be. You better be. It's part of our daily life. You're spending time in the Word of God. Are you faithful to the Word of God? Are you faithful to the promises of God? Are you faithful to the house of God? Most of you are. Praise God for that. Are you faithful to prayer? When life gets tough and things are going through your life, you need to pray about it. We just read that over in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. We're supposed to pray. Are you faithful to prayer? Are you faithful to giving? I know you don't want me to spend any time on that, but are you faithful to giving? Do you tithe? Do you give to missions? It's important to do that. Become faithful. Are you faithful as a spouse? Are you faithful as a neighbor? Can your neighbor count on you when your neighbor needs you? Think about that.
That's good.
Are you faithful to your neighbor? Are you a faithful church member? Are you faithful to other people in the church? Can other people count on you when they need you? Can the pastor count on you when he needs you? Can you count on me when you need me? Can we count on one another? Are we faithful to one another? So important. Faith is... it's not just having faith, it's being faithful. Because if you have faith, you're going to be faithful. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes sense to me. 1 Corinthians 13 again. Go back over there. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 is a great chapter to study. Look at verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. But faith is something that we need in our life. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy 4:12. We're almost done. Relax. I know you're hungry for cake. Hang in there. Only got two more to go after. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in," say it,
faith,
in purity. And so, when we're filled with the Spirit of God and we're allowing the Spirit of God to control us and we're living our life through Jesus Christ, or He's living His life through us, we're going to be faith. We're going to have faith in our life. And then meekness. Meekness is the next one here on the list in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23. Meekness and temperance. Meekness. You know what meekness is? Somebody tell me what meekness is.
Quiet strength.
Quiet strength. Huh?
Strength with humility.
Strength with humility. I wrote this down in my Bible. Controlled strength. Mm. Controlled strength. Moses was considered the meekest in the earth. Jesus Christ was meek, but they weren't. They weren't weaklings. No, no, no. Neither one of them were weak. See, people look at a meek person, they say, "Oh, he or she is so meek," and they think of a guy that walks around with clammy little hands and can barely, you know, talk. And he's got a high-pitched voice like this. That's not being meek. That's just being a little strange. That's all. Meekness is controlled strength. It's not weakness. It's not being a coward. A meek person is not a coward. Jesus Christ was never a coward. He went into the temple and he overthrew the money changers' table. He picked up a whip one time and he flung that whip around and chased them all out. That's not being weak. That's not being a coward. Moses was no coward. I like what John Wesley said. He said this, holding all the affections and passions in even balance. Holding all of the affections and passions in even balance. That's what being meek is. And then temperance. Temperance. What's temperance? What's temperance?
Self-control.
Self-control, but I like to use the term spirit control. The meaning, yes, the definition of temperance is, when you look it up, it is self-control. But remember, this is the fruit of the Spirit. And so it's not really self-control, even though we all need a little self-control, don't we? We need to know how to say no when we need to say no. But this is really under the control of the Spirit. The Spirit having dominion over our everyday life. It's moderation in everything. Moderation in everything. Knowing when to say no when you're supposed to say no. And knowing when to say yes when you're supposed to say yes. That's what temperance is. So the question is tonight is, are we walking in the Spirit or are we walking in the flesh? Let's take a walk. And let's see how we're walking.
Yeah, right.
In the Spirit or in the flesh, you know. You know how you're walking. The works of the flesh will be evident if you're walking in the flesh. Or it'll be evident if you're walking with the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit will be evident in your life. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, we will exemplify the fruit of the Spirit. As Paul mentions in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Let me just encourage you tonight, please, 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 walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh.
Yeah. Amen.
If you're having a hard time with that, just ask the Lord to help you with that.
Yeah.
Ask God to direct you and help you. Just ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. When God fills you with the Holy Spirit, you will exemplify the fruit of the Spirit. It'll be evident in your life. You'll see it in your own life, and other people will see it in you. But the most important is God seeing it in you.
Amen.
Father, thank you again for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the passages of Scripture that we looked at tonight. We pray that you would bless the invitation. If there is a spiritual need here that needs to be met at this altar, or Holy Spirit, we pray that you would meet with everybody in this room. If there's somebody that's not sure of their salvation tonight, we pray that that individual would get under conviction of their sin and realize that they need to be saved.
Amen.
And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us all to be filled with the Spirit. Help us to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life.
Yeah.
And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you need to come to the altar, you can come to the altar now.
Amen. All right. I want to meet with you guys that are interested in preaching. Please, you come right down here and fill up this area. You can stand, you can sit, whatever you want to do. And we'll have a very, very quick time. I just want to meet with you, get your names, make sure that we talk a little bit, give you some guidelines and some thoughts on that. And then you can go have cake too. All right? Let's pray. Be dismissed. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy to us. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together today, throughout the day, this morning and tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all your goodness and all your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that we can have the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, you're so good to us. Lord, you help us in every aspect of our life. I pray that you would work mightily upon us. Bless the food and the fellowship tonight, Lord. We just pray that. Lord, just be with the couples in our church. I pray that their marriages would flourish. And Lord, that you would just continue to bless the families in our church, the husbands, the wives, the children. Lord, I just praise you and thank you for the people of our church. They're so good. And Lord, I thank you for them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, hurry right down here, please, if you're interested in preaching.